comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Welcome, listening friends, to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's February 19th, 2013. I have another special guest on the line with me, another long-distance call to Israel. This time it's to Afula, which is located in the Jezreel Valley, also known as the Valley of Armageddon. Many of you are familiar with that name and the end-time prophecies that'll happen in that very area, the great and last battles. Well, I have Larry Rich on the phone with me. He's the Director of Development at Ha'emek Medical Center. It's a hospital that we at Great News Radio have served for about 10 or 12 years. It was one of the first humanitarian service project locations where we delivered teddy bears and beanie babies during the very trying and troubling times when the first Intifada was taking place, where there were suicide bombings in Israel, terror was an ongoing common occurrence, and at the time we felt strongly that it would be an ideal time to go to witness, to share God's love, and just to be there. God used it in a number of ways, and one was by introducing us to Larry Rich. And that friendship has grown over these many years, and I think we've returned to his hospital four or five or six different times, delivering teddy bears onto the various floors, going in and out of different patients' rooms, encouraging the staff, and feeling like we were really making a difference by extending God's love. Before you hear from Larry, let me read something about his hospital. As the only hospital and emergency facility in our volatile region, Ha'emek's reputation as a health provider grew while never wavering from our guiding philosophy of coexistence through medicine. When man's inhumanity to man wreaked havoc on our local population, Ha'emek's mixed ethnic medical staff of Jews and Arabs heroically worked shoulder to shoulder, saving lives and proving that we are capable of looking after one another. While the media cameras were focusing on the carnage, unnoticed women from their neighboring Jenin and their ill and dying children streamed to Ha'emek for salvation. Their untold stories and treatments could fill a medical journal. Nobody was ever turned away, and the humanitarian aid mostly went unpaid. Ha'emek Medical Center has proven that peaceful coexistence is not as difficult as the extremists would have us believe. Larry, I'm so glad to have you on the phone. Thanks for carving out some time. I know you're 8 hours ahead of us, so it's almost getting to be supper time for you. We're eating breakfast here in Illinois and Indiana, but I'm excited. In a few weeks, we're going to be in Israel and the opportunity to meet up with you and the great work that's going on at Ha'emek Medical Center. So maybe tell us a little about the work that you do and the vision you have for all the patients and your staff and how you can serve the community, the nations, through this unique hospital experience.
Well, Mark, it's fantastic to be talking to you once again. I mean, my goodness, we've been we've known each other, I think, for certainly the last decade or more. I've thoroughly enjoyed watching you develop and grow with your fantastic gathering of listeners for that Great News radio station. And so many of you folks have already come by and visited with us and left your mark and left the warmth among the staff and the children that you've touched here and the people, all the people you've touched. And it's an honor for me to be your friend, to be associated with you at all, and to be able to speak to your listeners and for them to be able to hear something from this crazy part of the world. And to answer your question about what it is we're all about, you know, as you serve humanity in your unique way, we're doing it in our way through the deliverance of health care. And we don't turn anybody away, as you know, Mark, that comes here. We're serving quite a cross-section of humanity in this part of the world. We're serving, first of all, our patient base in this unique region of the world is equally divided between Jews and Arabs, 50-50. Our multi-ethnic staff reflects the unique nature of this region. I mean, we have here Christian Arabs, as well as Muslim Arabs. There's Druze, there's Cherkessim, and Jews, of course. What's unique and what's uplifting is that you see people here going through their daily lives, one caring for the other, the Jew caring for the Arab caring for the Jew, as well as the families of all these people getting to know each other and discovering that it's okay to care for one another. And I think there's a very important human message in that. And the scenes that go on here every day that you've been witness to yourself when you visited here with your wonderful groups, you see scenes that are literally light years beyond what you're exposed to in the media back at your home.
Yeah, and what I've loved about our many visits there is you've given us the freedom to walk into different rooms, handing out teddy bears, beanie babies, and we've raised funds for a play school there, and the different ways we've gotten to interact with people and just spread God's love and care and compassion and just share a kind word or a pat on the back or encourage some of your nursing staff where they drop the beanie baby into their lab coat and walk around. But it's just... But it's been wonderful because you've allowed us to serve and just to see how you're reaching out to the Christian, the Druze, the Arab, the Muslim, all the patients, and you care and you provide treatment to everyone. And I know about 10 years ago when we were visiting there, and that was during the time when there were suicide bombings and such, and you're right there next to Afula, right in an area where a lot of things were happening, and yet you continued to reach out and care for these people that society or the world would say, don't treat them at all. They're our enemies. But you have a unique mindset there at the hospital to care for everyone.
It's true that we're located in, I guess, what you could call a violent neighborhood. You know, we're being here in the Jezreel Valley, which is also known historically, as you know, Mark, as the Valley of Armageddon. It's also a historical fact that over the last 4,000 years of recorded history, there have been more major military conflicts here in this Valley of Armageddon than any other place on Earth. And, of course, when we look at prophecy, that the final battle between good and evil is prophesied to be taking place in this particular region, first, it doesn't surprise me. And I often wonder to myself if that battle hasn't already begun, because I see so many examples of good and evil before my eyes every day. And even through those difficult years of the suicide bombings, because we're located very close to the Palestinian enclave of Jenin, and that was the birthplace of, that's where most of these suicide bombers had come from, had originated from. And yet, we continued to serve throughout these difficult years, even when there were bombings and attacks in our region. Arabs continued to be treated here. We even received patients from the Jenin area, from the Palestinian areas that were in need of life-saving health care, and they were treated. Nobody was ever turned away here. And these are facts that are very little known, if known at all, in the Western world. And we have documented proof, and these are stories that I share also in my book. I think you read my book, mm-hmm. Voices from Armageddon. It's a compilation of true stories of the relationships that are going on in this part of the world between Jews and Arabs. And I'm talking about the stories that are light years beyond the media, stories where people cooperate and reach out to one another and understand that we're all basically just human beings with all our frailties. And it's wonderful when people like you and your listeners come and reach out and touch these kids and touch the staff, and they're able to look into your eyes and your warm faces. And I have very, very fond memories in my mind of every time you guys have come to visit here, people kind of look at you and say, hey, where, you know, what star did these people fall off of?
Yeah.
They just don't understand why people would come from so far away to just dish out some goodwill.
I know,
and
that's
very refreshing indeed.
And I know that's been one of the catalysts or the power behind why we've come, and many times why we've come, because people said, you know, we don't necessarily need your gifts or your supplies or your support. Just you being there is an encouragement. Just to be able to say, we're here, we're present, we want to touch and talk and be with you. But what was unique, yesterday it was mentioned on the program, and I'll reference it again today, we are going to be bringing you some supplies, some craft items, everything from like glue sticks to glitter to chalk to crayons to colored paper, a variety of things. But we want to bring some gifts for these children because you have a unique area in the hospital where you have like a school for these children to really help them. And there's a play area. Talk a little about that.
Well, the school that we have here, it's called the School for Hospitalized Children, and it's a pretty sophisticated deal. We've got 12 teachers employed. It's under the auspices of actually the Ministry of Education here in the country, because there's so many thousands of children that are treated here, and some with extended stays. And the idea behind this school is that the kids will not fall behind in their lessons. We have a computer system. We have teachers here in all the languages, whether it be Arabic or Hebrew, or even the Ethiopian language. The idea being that children are kept up to date if they have extended hospitalizations, and that all the arts and crafts that the children take part in every single day. There's a tremendous emphasis on getting children to partake in healthy activities, to get their minds off of their illness, and to get them to focus on healthy, fun activities. And it has been proven that these kinds of activities are therapeutic, and children heal more quickly. And one of the attractions in our pediatric departments, Mark, is a playground that you and your listeners donated several years ago. And that playground is still standing today. We bought quality stuff, if you remember.
Yep.
And because we knew to stand up, when there's so many children moving through this place and so many children of all different sizes jumping and carrying on these things, this playground is still standing and it's in wonderful condition. And it's absolutely a tribute. And you can see it on the glass engraved plaque that still is on the wall there. It's a tribute to you and your listeners, and it's a tribute to the love that you people generate and radiate in this part of the world.
Well, I just count it a privilege to partner with you and to, again, encourage our radio listeners to be praying up for you, Larry Rich, and the Ha'emek Medical Center there in Afula, Israel, and just our opportunity to come and share with the children. And I love that concept, art therapy, because there are many children traumatized by the shellings, the bombs, because of violence, and they get to work out some of their struggles through drawing, through artwork, and our listeners can help us with the purchase of crayons and colored paper and different things so that these counselors can help them. Because I heard, and a pastor was telling me this the other day, yes, when you get a child down, you always give them crayons or markers and paper, and you see what they draw, because oftentimes if you see an angry looking person or violence, that's what's going on in their heart and mind, and you can kind of discern or ascertain where they're at from their artwork. So this is a real unique way to bring these supplies to help these counselors and teachers
these
work
supplies,
with these kids.
If you're going to be bringing some of these supplies to give to the school, and if any of your listeners at any time they want to send supplies like this, there's a never-ending need for arts and crafts materials here in the school, because so many thousands of children are moving through this institution. You can just imagine how the supplies get used and need to be renewed. So if you want to join us, and or if any of your listeners want to be a part of what's going on here in the school, then donations of these materials, or even modest financial donations. The program is called EMIC for Kids, and that's literally what it's called, EMIC for Kids. Just join the family and be a part of it, as you have been for so many years. And believe me, this is the stuff that's appreciated and used regularly.
In case you just tuned in, I have Larry Rich on the phone with me. He's the Director of Development and International Public Relations for Ha'emek Medical Center. And you can find out more by going to their website, ha'emek.co.il. That's ha'emek.co.il. And Ha'emek is spelled H-A-E-M-E-K and then .co. www.ifpr.il, and you can find out more, or you can contact the station if you want to do a financial gift or something. We'll make sure it's put into Larry's hands and given over to the staff there. And if you want to drop off some supplies, we're collecting them at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois, and we'll be collecting up till next Wednesday, the 27th, and we'll be taking over these gifts and these various art supplies for the children. Now, Larry, you spent some time here in the States, and you've stayed here in my home, and I've appreciated some of our conversations about spiritual things and faith journeys, and you have kind of an interesting story. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm going to a little, just because I remember, I believe you were telling me a story of being on a motorcycle, traveling around, I think it was partly in Europe or maybe in the United States, and then you just had this strong sense, this inner feeling like you needed to be at Israel. And
well, you've tapped into probably the catalyst in my life that the result is me being here. Yes, I did. I left a very affluent position in the home building business in the States. I had the American dream, quote unquote, in my hand. I was 25 years old. I was already vice president of a national building corporation. I had money, future, profession. I had the American dream in my hand. And yet I was bored, and I needed more in my life than the American business world could offer me. Being the nut that I was, I bought the biggest motorcycle that I could find at the time, which was a Honda 750. I gave 2 months' notice to my company, and I set out on a journey traveling the world alone on that motorcycle, and it ended up covering 25,000 miles alone. But it was early on in that journey, Mark, that I had a dream. I think I had started off in the Western United States, and I hadn't yet gone over to Europe. Most of the time I was in Europe. And I had a dream. And in this dream, I was in a very rustic-looking coffee house, all made of wood, and I had my blue down sleeping bag for some reason spread out next to me. And there was all kinds of white stitching all over the sleeping bag, which was totally meaningless. And in that dream, while I was in this coffee house, there was a voice that said, "You need to be here. You need to come here." And I had no idea what it was talking about. And I woke up, and like most people do with most dreams, I completely forgot about that dream. I mean, within, you know, seconds of when you awake, when the dream is gone, it's gone. And the amazing thing, the amazing continuation of this story is this. About 7 or 8 months had gone by. I was deep into my travels. I was living in the Alps in Austria, and I had no money left. I was working just for another tank of gas or to buy another meal. And I was living in an old house in a village, and it was in the night, and I was writing in my journal, just writing in my journal, not thinking of anything, really. And all of a sudden, completely out of nowhere, Mark, all of a sudden, the meaning of that dream that I had had so many months before came to me, and it hit me in the face like a brick. And all of a sudden, I realized in that moment, and I have no idea why I was not thinking about it, I realized in that moment that the white stitching that was all over my sleeping bag actually was an outline of the State of Israel. Hmm. And when I realized that that was the meaning and that's where I needed to go, I was deeply shaken. I mean, I shook, I cried, I was on my own. And I didn't understand. I said, you know, what do you want from me? And I really didn't know what was happening, but it was perfectly crystal clear that that was the message. And I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks after that revelation, I was living in the Alps in Austria. It was in 1972, late 1972, when the Munich massacre took place, when the Israeli athletes were murdered in Munich at the Olympics. When that happened, it made me very angry. And I said, well, this is where I make my stand. And I literally got on my motorcycle, and I drove through snowstorms in the Alps, which was it's an adventure in itself. And I made it to Israel, knowing that I had come home, not knowing the family, not knowing what I was going to do or where I was going to be. I drove out of the Haifa port on my motorcycle with $5 to my name, and I was never happier or more confident in my life that I was exactly where I needed to be. Mm-hmm. And here we are talking today, Mark, so
and
something went right.
And you know me and the evangelicals that God has brought into your life. I just think because of the biblical mandate, and I can't think, it escapes me right now, whether it was in Ezekiel or one of the prophets about how God in the end days brings his people back to the land, and how I have said, I think I showed you at the time some years ago, see, your dream, that's God at work. He's bringing you back to your homeland. He has a plan and purpose for the Jewish people. He's not through with you yet. He wants to work in and through you. And it's been great to partner with you, Larry, these many years. And again, returning with a group of 21 to serve those children under your leadership and under this great staff at HaEmek Medical Center. And we're going to be praying for you that God continues to allow you to be his instrument to bring healing and hope to not just the Jewish and the Arab and the Christian and the Druze, but the people that come across your life, the people in the hospital that you serve, and just the many ways that God desires to work in and through all of us. So I count it a privilege to partner with you, and we'll pray that God continues you on your faith journey to grow closer to him and to be his vehicle of hope and health to the world.
Well, Mark, we're in this together, and I deeply appreciate my association with you and your wonderful listeners. I've watched you and your radio station grow over the years, and this is a real privilege for me. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Larry, for being available, and we look forward to meeting up in a few weeks there in Afula, Israel, and serving at HaEmek Medical Center, bringing some great supplies and craft items for the children, and look forward to just giving you another big hug. It's been a while.
It's been a while, and I'm looking forward to it, Mark. All the best to you and your listeners. Thank you.
Hey, sounds great. See you in a couple weeks.
Okay, Mark. Have a safe journey, and it was fun talking to you.
Okay, thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're out of time. Gotta go. SRN News won't wait. Thanks for listening. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.